This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2018. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Jamie Reed, Director of Communications for Starkey. Welcome to Issues 2018.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's begin with some basic information.
Okay.
What is Starkey?
Well, Starkey Incorporated serves more than 500 people in the Sedgwick County area who have intellectual and developmental disabilities. And we do that through a variety of programs. We have employment programs, life enrichment, case management. We have a large residential program in Wichita. And we provide those supports 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
All right. And now, how long has Starkey been around? How did it get started?
Starkey actually was founded in 1930. So we are a lot older than people realize in the Wichita community. Hattie Starkey was our founder. She was a school teacher, and she saw that kids with disabilities were not getting what they needed necessarily in the public schools. And the story goes that she was dared or challenged to take on a couple of neighborhood kids who had disabilities and see if she could teach them. And in 1930, that was a lot different than it is today with special education in the schools. So Hattie did that. She started a school in her home, and people heard about her. Eventually, she had about 40 students in her house. And so a permanent school building was constructed, and the rest is history.
So they actually built a building then?
They actually built a school. I happen to work in the building that was the original school. It's over on Young Street. And people who have lived in Wichita for many years may remember the Starkey School. That's what it was known as for many years.
Over on the west side.
Over on the west side. We turned, you know, eventually in the 70s, the public schools took over special education. There wasn't such a need for these private schools. So we turned to different programs.
So how is Starkey financed then?
Starkey largely receives Medicaid dollars. So the dollars follow the individuals. If they are determined to be Medicaid eligible, those dollars come with them if they choose Starkey. And we also receive, that money flows through the state and through the county. We are an affiliate of the Sedgwick County Developmental Disability Organization. We also do private fundraising, though. We receive grants. We have other local sources of money as well.
Okay. Now, what do you call the people you help? Are they clients?
Sometimes that word is used, yes. I always just say the individuals served by Starkey.
Outside of them?
Mm-hmm.
No. How many people actually work for Starkey?
Oh, employees.
Yeah, employees.
In support of that mission. We employ almost 400 people. Mm-hmm. So we serve more than 500, and we employ almost 400.
Wow.
We are the 39th largest employer in the Wichita area.
Really? Tell us about your facilities now.
Well, we have day program facilities over on the west side. And so those house our employment programs, our life enrichment programs, as well as offices, health services. And then throughout Wichita, we have almost 40 different homes where people live with staff support every day, and we have two apartment complexes. So, you know, we actually have about 50 to 55 different properties in the Wichita area.
So, and again, how many people are you actually helping? Did you say 400, 500? How many?
500, yeah. A little over 500.
How does that fluctuate, or does it go up and down? Are people coming in, going out?
It does. We have, when a person who has a disability needs services in Sedgwick County, they actually visit first with the Sedgwick County Developmental Disability Organization. They have a variety of choices. They could choose Starkey for everything. They could choose Starkey only for residential and other providers for different services. So it's a buffet of choices. And, you know, the person comes to us through that process. And yes, we do have admissions that are ongoing. In any given month, we have people who are interested in coming into our employment programs, our residential programs. It's a constant flow.
Okay, so how does Starkey handle security? You have some people here who they need to be secure in their lodging and they're coming and going. How do you handle that?
That's a great question. We have specialized training, for one thing, for people who have a need for behavior supports. That's kind of the jargon that we use in the industry, but people who have challenging behaviors who maybe are not able to keep themselves safe or others around them, we have high staffing ratios, so enough people. And then we have the type of training that they need for behavior interventions to keep them safe in their various programs. Otherwise, we have the physical security of buildings that most of us have in our workplaces today. Locked doors, cameras in certain cases, you know, receptionist, a gatekeeper, people who are kind of determining who should be there and who should be interacting with the people that we serve.
Well, the Starkey population, though, is moving. They're on the streets, I know.
They are.
They ride the bus. What do they do?
Well, we actually have a fleet of vehicles, and we provide transportation. That's a huge service that we provide, 250,000 one-way rides every year. So we have buses, Starkey buses, going everywhere. And the reason for that is people, some people take city transit. It is available to them, but some people need additional supports that and a staff person with them on that bus, and that's not always available through public transportation. The reason we provide transportation, we have people who need to go to and from jobs, to and from health appointments, and to and from their home every day, grocery shopping, all of those activities. You're right, we are on the go constantly.
At the center of Starkey is independent living, but also employment.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Well, employment really takes two different forms at Starkey. We have local businesses that work with us for contract work. Our in-house employment program, at any given time, you could walk in the doors and you could see different jobs that are going on. So we might be doing small parts assembly, packaging, mailing, shipping, that sort of thing. And the people are paid for the work that they do in that program. And then with the skills that they gain there, or maybe the skills they walk in the door with, we have people who work in the community. And I like to mention this because employers don't always know that if they hire someone from Starkey, a job coach, an employment specialist, someone will come with that person. And so you're not only just hiring and giving a person a chance, but you have the supports there. You're not required as the manager or the staff to provide those. We will do that. We will train the person on the job, follow them to ensure that they're successful, and keep checking in.
That's a good point. Employers take responsibility for those who work in their building, those who visit their buildings, and it's good to know that there's some support along those lines of responsibility then.
It does make it easier. And, you know, we have people employed everywhere. Wesley Medical Center, Carlos O'Kelly's, Davis Moore, Schofield Honda, country clubs, hospitals, pharmacies, restaurants, It really is a wide variety.
Yeah, well, what kind of work are they doing then?
It really just depends. In a restaurant, it could be bussing tables. It could be assisting in the kitchen. At the car dealerships, we have people who are assisting in the parts and service departments, and sometimes with receiving different parts that come in and getting them to the right place. So depending on the person and their skills, disabilities is a very wide spectrum. You could have a person who needs a lot of personal assistance, and you could have someone who has very high functioning autism, for instance, and they have a lot of skills to share.
So if you've shared a few of the employers for us, can you talk about just a few more?
Yeah, absolutely.
You must have some people who have been working with you for a long time, I would presume.
We do. We have a man who has worked at Johnson Controls York for 21 years at this point.
Wow.
Incredible. Jonathan, who's at Westlake Ace Hardware, he just celebrated his 15th anniversary. And I think Michelle, who is at Walgreens, has been there an equal amount of time. So some really long-term tenures at these jobs.
All right. And do they ever move to other jobs?
You know, I have to say the people that employ them, they love them. They consider them to be a vital part of their team. And so, they have stuck it out at those jobs and they love it there.
So that was my next question. What did the employers say about workers from Starkey? But give us a couple more examples.
You know, it's interesting. They will say to us, when we ask for testimonials or quotes, they will say, he or she is the most dedicated employee I have. They never take a sick day. Always show up on time, are happy to be here, happy to have this job, understand the value of work. I mean, the people from Starkey who gain community employment are really dedicated to their jobs and proud of them.
So you talked about Medicaid earlier, and that's government. Uh-huh. I know that's government, but you've got these people who are your clients are coming in, and they're actually, they are producers. They are people in the community who are not taking, they're putting back in, paying taxes and the whole thing, right?
Yes, I believe that to be true, especially those who are employed now. For those who are maybe unable to be employed, we are proud to say that they are giving back as volunteers. So they may not be contributing their taxes per se, but okay, they, in our life enrichment program, our passport program, they volunteer with the Kansas Humane Society, the Lord's Diner, the Salvation Army. They go and fill boxes at the Kansas Food Bank. So in that sense, they are productive in giving back to our community as well.
You're listening to Issues 2018 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest is Jamie Reed, Director of Communications for Starkey. You know, if someone in business has an interest in employing Starkey clients, what should they do? How do the prospective employers, how do they get involved?
Well, we can make it easy on them. So they can go to starkey.org. That's probably the easiest route, is our website. But also call our main number and ask to speak to our employment team. And we have specialists that will come to them. And so they will actually come to the job site, talk to a potential manager, kind of scope out the job. We have a trial phase where a person can actually try out the job and see if they can be successful. And that way we don't just place somebody and you know, we set them up for success instead of failure in that way.
Okay. Tell us about Starkey Life Enrichment and Gateway Programs.
Oh, sure.
I've been looking at your website.
Yes. Excellent, Steve.
Yes. What is this?
Life Enrichment, I mentioned some of the volunteer activities that go on in the community. They are heavily involved in that, and that is a program where people need more support, either physically or for the various disabilities that they have. And so we have more staff that can assist them going out, learning about our community, becoming engaged in it, and also take part in in-house activities as well. Part of that big umbrella of programs is a retirement program, Leisure League. We finally came to realize that people don't want to work forever. And so we had 70-year-olds. We even have a man who's 82 say to us, you know, I want to retire. And so we make that possible through that particular program. Gateway is a completely different program for people with a dual diagnosis of a disability and a mental illness. And so in that program, people have particularly challenging behaviors. They may need some training for social skills building, some medication management, anger management, and that type of thing. And so it's really one-to-one support in our Gateway program. We've seen some great success. We tell the story of a young man who had issues with his schizophrenia, getting in the way of building relationships and paranoia that was going on. With the right medication management, the right team that was pulled together, he is so happy now. He's not part of the Gateway program anymore. He's employed. He's actually working at Carlos O'Kelly's, and he helps train local law enforcement officers on how to effectively interact with somebody who has a mental illness and is in crisis.
That's interesting, because when I talk to law enforcement people and do this program with them, that is one of the things that they are seeing more and more in their work on the streets. People who probably shouldn't be out there,
right,
who have some mental problems, and they're running into some very serious difficulties about that. The police officers are now being trained. How do you deal with that? That's interesting that you're helping out with that.
That's great. And it's not always obviously evident that a person would have a disability or a mental illness. We've seen tragic instances in other parts of the country where, someone doesn't comply with orders and they have autism, and the officer doesn't know that. It puts them in a bad situation. So Connor, this young man, goes to every crisis intervention team training for police and sheriff's officers and tells his story about how his interactions in the past have been and how they could have been different.
Wow. Okay. So what other services and programs does Starkey provide?
Well, we've talked about employment, the life enrichment, residential. Let me touch on that a bit more. So I mentioned our various group homes throughout the community. We have staff 24/7. So it might be three shifts of staff. It might just be overnight or support staff. And that is for people to live more independently. So it might be someone who is coming from a parent's home for the first time, and the parent is concerned that they need supports to live successfully and someone to make sure that their needs are met. Starkey can be that for them. On the other end of the spectrum, we have apartment buildings, and people live very independently. So we just have trainers who check in with them and say, have we grocery shop this week? Do we need to make sure your bills are paid? Have you taken your medications? And provide just a limited support to make them successful.
Okay. Does Starkey have an electronic recycling program?
We still do.
And what is
yes,
that?
Yes, we do. We started this journey working with the Wichita USD 259 schools. And so we have the contract to recycle all of their computers as they kind of rotate that inventory every 3 years. And so we go and pick those up. But in addition, we added a public component. So if you have an old computer, monitor, mouse, keyboard, an old tablet or cell phone, we can take those from you. We work with a broker that assures us that does not go to a landfill in China, that the parts are recycled and reused here in America. And so our individuals in the work program actually take those apart. They take a computer apart, clip the cords, take the motherboard out. Those are sorted according to the metals that are in them or the ways that they need to be recycled. And people at Starkey love working on e-cycling. It's fun to take things apart and throw them into bins. It's cathartic.
So they're not rebuilding the computer and sending it back saying,
they are
it
not.
Should work better now.
No, they are not doing that. They are disassembling. And so, for the public, they can actually bring those items to our building at 4500 West Maple. They can ring a bell and someone will come take those items from your trunk, from your car, and handle it for you.
Now, what kind of items are you talking about here? Well, I know you're talking about computers.
Yes, just old electronics, really, tablets, phones, computers, laptops, gaming systems, those types of things. We cannot take televisions.
Okay.
And
that was what I was going to ask, because a few years ago I had a giant television I needed to reset.
I know. That is still, I wish that we could, but because of the tubes and various things that are in them, yeah.
How long does a person generally stay in your program? You talked about people who have reached retirement age, which kind of surprised me. But on the average, how long does a person stay in your program then?
You know, I have been there 21 years at this point, and I know a good number of people who have been there at least that long. I would say that we have maybe a third of people at this point who have been there 30 plus years.
Wow.
And we look at a photo from 1954 of the kids at the Starkey School, and we pick out faces of people who were kids then that we still serve today. So Starkey really is there for a lifetime for some people. Others, you know, young people may come and go as circumstances in their life change, and so they might need some employment training from us or an apartment, and we might serve them for 5 years, and they're off to the next adventure.
Could you share one or two more success stories for us?
Oh, absolutely.
But you've got a lot of them.
We do. We really do. One that we shared this year at our golf event was the story of Eric. And again, it ties back to our Gateway program. And Eric's mom actually spoke and was interviewed for a video that we showed. And she talked about all of the places and that Eric, with his disability and with his mental illness, had been. And so various institutions and hospitals and how people really there just kind of categorized him and shuffled him from one place to another and didn't work with him on his skills. And she said, since he has come to Starkey, in her mind, we have taken the time to get to know him. He has built his communication skills. He can actually talk with her and carry on a conversation now, which is, you know, such a relief and so welcome to her. And he's working. He's working 2 days a week at a construction company, cleaning their offices and, you know, building those interaction skills and employment skills. And she just sees such growth in him. And she attributes that to just the attention, the personal attention that we give him.
All right. Now, tell us about fundraising efforts. I know of one or two, but can you tell us what you do to raise a little extra money?
Yes, sure. I love fundraising events because they're also awareness-raising events. And so we have three of those that go on. I mentioned our Starkey Golf Classic. That happened in July, but this next year for 2019 will happen in September. So we're going to have some cooler weather. It's out at Crestview, and that is one fundraiser that we do, the Golf Classic and the gala event that's associated with that. We also have the Amber Waves Beer Walk and Tasting Tour. That is every May in Delano, and it's a chance for patrons to go from business to business and enjoy different craft beers and different wines and appetizers that are prepared by local restaurants and do a little shopping if they desire. Aeroplanes Brewing is a stop now on that tour, and so we end up there and have the local breweries involved as well. And then lastly, we are a beneficiary of the Cars for Charities Rod and Custom Car Show that happens every January at Century 2. Starkey and the Arc of Sedgwick County are the two charities that benefit from that.
So what are the biggest challenges in your job or from you and your coworkers? What are the biggest challenges that you face day to day?
I would say we are always working with the state to get a sense of realistic expectations and also reimbursement rates. It is really hard to pay our direct support staff the wages that they deserve. It's hard work. We wish we could pay them, you know, minimum of $13 or $14 an hour, and that doesn't even seem like enough, but we're not able to do that with the Medicaid reimbursements that come to us. And so we're always advocating at the state level for change on that front. We also are seeing different needs of people who are walking in our doors. I mentioned challenging behaviors. I mentioned autism. You know, I've seen personally a lot of change in the need and the different disabilities that come to us. And we don't have the option to say, no, we really just can't serve you. We have to figure it out. And so for us, that means pulling together as a team, outside resources, psychologists, figuring out what it is to help that person.
Kind of staying on top of the game there.
Yes, the game is always changing.
Something new all the time. Mm-hmm. That's true of so many places. But hey, listen, we want to thank you for spending some time with us this morning to talk about Starkey, as always, and hope to come. Maybe you'll come back in a few months and we'll talk some more about what's going on there at Starkey.
And thank you. Can I put in a social media plug? We
sure
are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So if people want to see photos of what's going on, that's a good place to do it.
That's all for this edition of Issues 2018. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.